Okay. Well, welcome to our village board meeting. It's Monday, August 12th at 7 o'clock. I'd ask the clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Johnson. Trustee O'Connell.
Here.
Trustee Bachner.
Here.
Trustee Gillis.
Here.
President Odusi.
Here. Okay, if I could ask everyone to please stand if you're able to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. All right. Well, we've got a special presentation for a special person here, so we're going to do it now. So I need a motion first to approve a resolution recognizing Eric Simon for his work on the Sustainability Commission. Oh, thanks.
Motion to approve a resolution recognizing Eric Simon for his work on the Sustainability Commission.
Second.
Okay, great. Well, Eric, maybe you can, I can meet you at the podium because I won't get a seat here. But I've got a little plaque in Ohio. Read it because there's a lot here. And it says, whereas Eric Simon moved to Village River Forest in 2015, and Eric applied for a position on the Sustainability Commission in March of 2017. Eric was appointed to the commission in May of 2017, and he was elevated to chair of the Sustainability Commission in May of 2021. In June of 22, Eric was recognized by Crain's Chicago Business as a notable leader in sustainability for his work as chair of the Sustainability Commission. And during Eric's tenure as chair, the commission achieved numerous objectives, including the launch of the community solar program, the implementation of a green electric aggregation program, installation of the village's first electric vehicle charging station, successful recommendations for a new waste hauling contract to include multiple composting options, along with household hazardous waste and electronic waste collections, passage of an opt-in single-use plastic ordinance, passage of an ordinance banning polystyrene foam, otherwise known styrofoam, food takeout containers, SoulSmart silver designation, along with numerous other accomplishments. And therefore, be it resolved, the village president and the board of trustees hereby thank Eric Simon for his tenure on the Sustainability Commission, and that the board extends best wishes to Eric Simon for his continued good health and happiness, and that a suitable copy of this resolution be presented to Eric as a token of our esteemed and good wishes from the village board. It's officially affixed to Village River Forest. So thank you very much, Eric. Yeah. I can't tell you how much these commissions are so important to our community. And it is volunteer work. I mean, it is work that we do not get paid for. We, you know, often people don't realize that, and it's so much work and it's so much time away from your family. It looks like some of your family members are here, which we very much thank you for allowing Eric to do this on behalf of River Forest residents. I mean, this is a hot topic, and it's a topic that's near and dear to the village board as well. So we really appreciate you being part of this and giving your time and energy. So thanks, Eric. Thanks. If you want to say a word, please say it. All right.
I'll be brief. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate that. It's totally unnecessary, but very much appreciated. Just, you know, very quickly, like President Ducey said, the last over 7 years have been really interesting. And it's been an honor and a pleasure serving on this commission. And it's really on the heels of the great work by the kind of OG visionary, members of the commission. Two of them are sitting at the big kids table now. Thanks, Lisa. Thanks, Katie.
Yep.
And so really all I've been doing and my predecessors will be doing is continuing that good work. But none of this is possible without the leadership and support of you guys, President Ducey, the trustees. You guys are amazing. You formed the commission not because it was the cool thing to do at the time, not because it was trending, but I think you guys were understanding that all aspects of our village are better when we implement impactful, pragmatic sustainability solutions to improve and preserve the environment in our beautiful village, which is good for business. It's good for home values. It's good for the health and well-being of our residents. It teaches our children by example and does our part collectively in combating global climate change. So the last thing I'm just going to say is this commission has like a secret co-chair that we, you know, we never really talk about. And behind the scenes really does the bulk of the work. And it's been our village liaison, which is currently Seth Jansen, who's not here, but, you know, please give him a big what up. We've all of our staff partners over the years have just quietly and incredibly competently kept us moving forward, kept us on track, kept us organized, and we truly couldn't do it without them. So I thank you guys for the opportunity, and this is very nice, and I look forward to seeing you guys as just a regular resident in this beautiful room.
Well, thank you. Good stuff. All right. Okay, we don't believe we have any citizens' comments. And I think we noted.
I noted. Yeah.
I think that's all we need to do. Just note when you came in. Sorry. I saw you. Yes. We were purposeful. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thanks, Eric. So let's welcome. No citizens' comments. So we'll go on to elected official comments and announcements. So we'll start, if you don't mind, with Bob. So Ken.
Thank you. I have a little good news and a little bad news. So first of all, I don't think we should let the evening go by without acknowledging the passing of one of our businessmen in town, Mark Bright, who ran Bright Cleaners. And also, if you were a kid growing up in the old Park River Forest area, you knew about Bright and Johnson Sporting Goods, which used to be on North Avenue, but they kind of downsized it and did a little bit of work out of the cleaner space on Madison Street. So our best to Mark's family. He was a great member of the community. Good businessman, and was always there with a comment when you came into the store. So we're going to miss Mark. And then on the plus side, I'd like to congratulate the 11U baseball team. They're the district champs. Unfortunately, their weekend got cut short, but we want to congratulate the coach and all the players, and hopefully at some future meeting we'll do some acknowledgement of that group. So those are my two things for tonight. So thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Kent? I do not have any comments today. Okay. Just wishing everyone a happy end of the year, or end of the season, rather. Not end of the
probably
year, end of the season. Yeah.
Or Labor Day, because I mean, we won't be back.
It's like end of the year to me.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, Katie.
Thank you. Well, I guess since we last met, I've had a couple of wrap-up meetings for the one for the River Forest Juneteenth flag raising group. We talked about things that we did new this year, things that worked well, things that we wanted to do in future years and maybe improve upon. So it was a really good meeting, and we'll be continuing to meet between now and starting to plan in earnest for next year. And then also similar to that, we had a recap and planning meeting for the Juneteenth Traveling Museum, which was also present at the River Forest Juneteenth flag raising. Also had a meeting with some active cyclists who live and work in the River Forest area, some of whom were instrumental in helping us do our bike plan that passed maybe 5 years ago, and gave some insightful comments and input in preparation to start to look carefully at the plan to hopefully connect the two bike paths through River Forest. And there'll be more on that later. And then wanted to also mention that I think before we meet again, we will be having the annual lemonade charity event. So I brought my lemonade mug, always on September 11th from 3 to 7 p.m. on the 700 block of Bonnie Bray. And I encourage everyone to attend and contribute. The two charities this year are WonderWorks and Collaboration for Early Childhood. Thank you.
Yeah, great stuff. John?
Nothing to add. Thanks.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. I just want to wish everyone a terrific and safe Labor Day weekend. And then at the risk of disappointing our kids, I wish all the kids a safe return back to school elementary, middle, and our high school kids. So that's all I have.
Thanks, Rez. Lisa?
Sorry. First, I want to congratulate the fire department for a successful blood drive on Saturday, June 27th. How many? Just under 30 units, which I was told is really pretty amazing. And I will tell you, I am a lapsed donor and was brought out to do it. It's really easy. They're going to do it again. We should double it next time if that's possible. Secondly, I just wanted to, encourage everybody or let everybody know that that we were well represented at the Thatcher Woods Cook County Forest Preserve benefit. It was the first of its kind, jazz in the Forest Preserve by the Thatcher Pavilion. The teams that put it on thought it was a very successful event. They hope to do it again. And it is important that we preserve the Forest Preserve because it is vital to our greenhouse gas management plan. Thank you.
Yeah, good points. Thanks, Lisa.
Okay, Erica? I'd like to start with a land acknowledgement. So as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, Menominee, Potawatomi Nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honored that land that was colonized, and that they were stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. I wanted to mention real quickly, a couple of days ago, my husband came up to me and was like, I'm getting these weird welts, and I think I'm getting like bitten, and I have no idea what it is. Wow. And I was like, well, you're probably getting bitten, take a shower. And it was only through word of mouth with other employees that he works with that they kind of realized that there was something more going on. Somebody did a little research. Wow. And it sounds like what's happening in our area is something called oak mites or cicada mites. And there are these little bugs that come out when the cicadas come out. Mm-hmm. And looking through like maybe a couple Facebook posts and things, it looks like it's really affecting people. And everybody is like, am I the only one who this is happening to? So I don't know, like, obviously we wouldn't want to give medical advice necessarily, but maybe we can put something out there.
Yeah.
Just saying, you know, like what's happening in the area. Again, I don't know how long it's projected, you know, for these little buggers to be out. But
great suggestion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
So that's my two cents.
Wow. Does the rash go away?
I hope so.
Oh, so it's still...
It does eventually because I had it.
I think so but it's very you start like just finding them everywhere. Uh-huh. And literally you just go outside and I don't think you can really even see the bug. Like, so it happens and you have no idea where you got it from if you don't really know what's going on.
All right. Yeah. Great. Thanks. Yeah. We'll make sure we let people know that. That's a great, well, unfortunate story, but it's a good story. Okay. I just have a few things. I know that we've met with lots of different people. I do want to remind everybody about the food truck rally on August 24th. It's going to be at Keystone Park, kind of a great, it's a combination of the village and the park district and Rotary. And it's really a lot of fun. So make sure anybody out there hearing, watching, you know, seeing, yeah, get out there. It's a ton of fun. It's August 24th. Also, I want to echo what Lisa said. The Forest Preserve had a really cool event called Jazz in the Forest, and it was just an inaugural event. And I hope that the papers pick it up because it was really a cool event, and it was something that I think should be advertised all over. Forest Preserve is just a beautiful facility that they have right there off Chicago. And they did a great job. So congratulations to the Forest Preserve for putting on a fabulous event. Matt and I have been working side by side on a lot of issues. One particular is the UP idling. I think we've heard some chatter not only on social media, but amongst our residents about the awful continued idling that's happening here in our neighborhood. Just a long, drawn-out idling causing a lot of issues for our neighbors. So we are, we've sent out many letters to our legislators and many letters to the people at UP. We do have a meeting set up with them I'm also attending the IML conference, which I'm also, I guess, hosting or being the moderator for Railroad Safety and Association. So I'm going to have a first time chat with the Railroad Association, which has quite a bit of influence with railroads. So that so we continue to update our residents via email and other, just to let them know the types of work that we're doing. We are trying to get with Harmon and Welch and Lilly and other legislative leaders to let them know that this is a really serious issue for our neighborhood. And then we've had, you know, just numerous other conversations regarding how to move forward on some of the other things that are, we're working on. So a lot of good stuff is happening. I also want to wish all of our residents a happy Labor Day. I know it's around the corner. I can't believe it. It's going to be end of August. So with that, I have nothing more to report. So we'll move on to the agenda items, which is our consent agenda.
Motion to approve consent agenda items A through L.
Yep. Take care.
Oh, my microphone wasn't on.
Award it. Then we're very one. Okay, sure. So
go ahead.
Yep, thank you. Okay, motion and a second. If we can then have, if you can read and take a vote on A through I and A through L.
Consent agenda item A, Village Board of Trustee meeting minutes, June 17th, 2024. B, Village Board of Trustee executive session meeting minutes, July 8th, 2024. C, June financial report. D, July financial report. E, July 2024 accounts payable, $2,239,175.24. F, monthly department reports. G, administration department report. H, purchase approval, police department storage units, Bradford Systems, $31,000. I, purchase approval, tasers, Axon Enterprise, Inc., $33,856. K, approval of motor fuel tax funds, 2024 maintenance agreement, $565,000, resolution. L, right-of-way agreement, property owners at 624 Lathrop Avenue for an underground sprinkler system in the public right-of-way. Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Thank you. So if we can get a motion and a second on item J on the consent agenda.
Motion to approve the consent agenda item J.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. All right. Katie?
So this is for the award of contract for the Fenwick Priory Water Main Loop Project. And this is at the Fenwick High School Priory campus. And I pulled this because this is a village contract for work done on private property, which could cause some questions. But my understanding is that the work is going to be done on village-owned pipes, main. And I wanted to just clarify that that's why the village is doing this work on the privately owned
correct
property.
So the village-owned water main runs through the Priory, under the Priory campus, so that the work will be performed on that work. Village staff has been talking with Fenwick about getting a temporary easement so that we have access to perform the work. And we've invited them to, upon approval, they'll be invited to pre-construction work and be updated throughout the project. So this, I should also mention that this project is not limited to benefiting the Fenwick Priory. It benefits quite a bit of the northeastern portion of town. So it's just because that's where the water main goes through that campus that we need. That's why we titled the project this, and we'll need a temporary easement to perform that work.
Yep.
Will the fill be affected or no?
No, it will not.
Field.
No, it's mostly in the parking lot area, but next to the building.
In relation to the water mains, It looks like we have $450,000 for fiscal year 2025. How many projects have we either completed in relation to this on water mains, and how many more do we have to go?
So this year we completed a water main project. There were several projects listed when we did an analysis about 5 years ago on our water system and where the water pressure was low. We completed a project earlier this fiscal year just south of St. Vincent's for a couple block stretch. So that project and this project were the only two identified this year, I believe, in terms of water main improvements.
Is there any prioritization that's going on, like which areas we're doing and why?
Correct. So this, as part of the water main system or the water system analysis that was done in 2018 or 2019, there are about 8 to 10 projects identified. Several of those have already been completed in the past. So those were prioritized based on where there's low water pressure, basically. We found out through our testing with our fire department that a lot of the hydrants in that area didn't have pressure that we want, that below the level that we needed it to be. So that's what's prioritized. This is not just a replacement of the water main like a traditional. This is to, Jack can probably explain it better, but it's to kind of loop the pressure around better so that it's not all going through the same line.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
But I can share that report of what the projects were identified and see what we've done and how many are still outstanding. We're very close to meeting the list of the suggested projects from that study.
And for the RFPs, when we do this, send these out for each of these projects, are they relatively similar or are, you know, besides the work involved?
Yes, I, for the most part, the scope of work is very similar that they check. We expect a certain scope of work, and that's why you'll notice in here that there's a lower bid that's not recommended for approval. As part of that, the lowest bid here, Horner and Schifrin, did not include full soil borings, mm-hmm. Which is a test of to make sure the quality of the soil down to the level of the water main. They didn't have that included in their scope. We wanted that as part of the scope, so that's why Thomas Engineering was the recommendation. So there's some minor different changes. Some places either don't have the capability, don't feel it's needed. They don't typically do it with other projects. There's different pieces to that, but we want to do it right.
Have we seen the RFP or example template of the RFP for this work?
This work.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm just wondering, as like part of our board packets in the past to approve anything, have we seen? If not, I'd like to have it with these.
Understood. The work. Yeah, I think we have done
the actual RFP.
The request for proposal that goes out. In addition to the one.
In addition to the response. Yeah, that's fair. I know we have done that in the past. I think it just kind of depends. We can certainly do that. Going forward,
we're not going to approve the RFP, right? No. You just want to see it.
You just want to see it.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
That way,
part of the story.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
I just don't want to start the practice that we're now going to start revising RFPs when we're not the experts to do that. That's all.
No, I just want to see when we get a proposal back how closely they have aligned to what we've been asking.
Well, we can do that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think a lot of that is administrative work. I mean, if you've got an issue with their report, you should.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear what the issues are. I mean,
there's no issue with the report. I just would like to see RFP in comparison to what comes back as a bid.
What would you like to do with that? Just to make
it compare.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, look over their work.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll take that under advisement. I'm not quite sure that makes sense, but okay. All right.
Well, I had another question. Are there other private properties in River Forest that have water mains that are going under them, like this one here on the Fenwick Priory campus?
I would guess there are, and probably the universities. I don't know of any offhand, per se.
Dominican Concordia.
Concordia.
Yeah.
This project was identified as part of the entire water model village-wide. So when we realized, hey, there's a water main there, they recommended pooping it because of the entire northeast portion of town is impacted by it. So they identified, hey, priority, we need to come do this because of our hydrant pressures in the northeast corner of town.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jack.
Yeah, thanks.
And Matt.
It all makes sense. It's, we got to do it. And I'm guessing there was a lot in under Dominican. Okay, super. All right. If we could get, if we can read it and then ask for a vote.
Consent agenda item J, award of contract, Fenwick Priory Water Main Loop Project, Thomas Engineering Group, $25,000. Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
All right. If I can move nothing on 7, 8, or 9, or we'll go right down to new business, award of a contract for Harlem Avenue right in right out. Okay. So I can get a motion to approve that contract.
Okay. Please. I move to award a contract to Burke LLC in the amount of $148,921.50 for the 2024 Harlem Avenue right in right out project. And authorize the village president and village clerk to execute the contract agreement.
Okay. All right. So is there anything you want to say about this, Jack? Or, yeah.
This is.
You have to. I'm just asking.
I was going to say, the one thing I will mention is I guess we are happy to get.
Yeah.
Yes.
Profound.
Speaking from the.
No worries.
The one thing I'd like to mention is that we've finally gotten concurrence from IDOT to do the work, and that's why we're at this point now. So, yeah.
Good stuff. Thank God. Okay, that's great. Okay. All right, any other further comments or questions? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and take the vote.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, the second is the modification to the vehicle weight limit restriction in the village truck route. So if I can get a motion to approve this ordinance.
I'd like to make a motion to approve an ordinance modifying existing weight restrictions from 5 to 10,000 pounds and add Clinton Place from North Avenue to Lake, Lemoyne Street, Greenfield Street from Park Avenue to Harlem Avenue, and Division Street to the list of limited load streets.
Second.
Okay. So I don't know, Jack, if you might want to say a few comments, and I think it's pretty self-explanatory, but there's got a.
As Jack makes his way up to it, this has been discussed in the past with concerns about traffic off of Harlem and North Avenue.
Right.
In conversations, we identified that there were several streets that were not listed on the limited load list for the village ordinance. It hasn't been updated since 1992. So the map that was included as a packet spells out a couple that we recommended for inclusion on there. And then the other change was just a little bit more in line with how the modern design of cars to raise the what is considered a heavy vehicle up to 10,000 pounds. That still covers most commercial vehicles that we would be concerned about. The 5,000 pound limit that we have, there's everyday cars that exceed that. So we felt that updating that at the same time that we were updating the list of limited load streets would made sense.
Yeah. So to build off what Matt said, one of the things we first looked at with the limited load streets was the modern day car. For example, a Tesla weighs 5,307 pounds and our limit was 5,000. So we looked at that. We didn't think that that was reasonable with just today's standards. On top of that, we are doing these modifications for the right in, right out on Greenfield and Lemoyne. This was a good opportunity to review where we had truck routes already. And then I will let police chief speak more to the enforcement and how that goes about.
Great. Thank you.
Just as the ordinance is written, once it's passed, we'll go through a series of education with regard to the change of the ordinance itself, using the weekly or news, also social media and the village website. Officers for the first 30 days after will issue warnings to any drivers that are not in compliance. After that, they will go back to the standard of using your discretion, whether to cite or to not cite. A lot of you may or may not know that over the past 25 years, we've conducted truck enforcement. We have our own scales. We used to have to take the trucks and drive them to the old Harlem and Harrison to the cement plant, which the name escapes me right now. And it's
Moore. Yeah.
Moore. Thank you. Thank you. So we've had our own scales. They get certified yearly. We're also members of the Illinois Truck Enforcement Association, and we receive the appropriate training. So we're able to enforce the laws. Some of them are already codified within village code. Once again, the officers are out there every year during the changeover of the plates, doing this enforcement, and also on a daily basis when they make an observation. When they stop a vehicle, if the like the ordinance says and state law says, and actually federal commerce law talks about if they're making deliveries in town, they're picking up items in town, they have a right to do that. So this would be strictly vehicles that are in violation that are passing through the village and causes wear and tear on our streets and also creates a safety hazard because the streets aren't made either width-wise or to handle that type of weight of somebody's second division vehicles.
Does pickup and deliveries include like a grocery store who has one of these semi-trucks coming in with food?
Yes.
Okay. So it won't stop?
No, it won't stop anyone's deliveries or pickups or furniture or appliances or landscaping or moving trucks, and as you know, we see a lot of those within the community.
And then deliveries to grocery stores, then like commercial deliveries.
Correct. It doesn't affect any of that either.
But don't they have certain routes? That's a great question.
Yeah, I was going to say, point of clarification. You mean delivery, or maybe I should ask the question: do you mean delivery of produce and grocery items to stores in River Forest, or can they go through and deliver to? They go, as opposed to North Avenue, go down, making it up, pick a street to deliver in
Trader Joe.
Right.
So there's designated truck routes that are designated by the state of Illinois and IDOT and through state statute. So they're supposed to stay on those routes if they're not delivering within that specific municipality. So if they choose to go off the route, they're subject to being stopped. And then at that point, they're checking the truck driver's paperwork. As you know, they're required to have the ladings and the delivery. I don't know, Lance, if you want to chime in on some of this here.
Yeah, it would be called a manifest. That's what you're thinking of, right? Yeah, so everyone who's on a route and they're all delivering somewhere, if they're pulled over for being on a non-truck road, the officers ask the questions, and they'll typically say, well, I'm making a delivery, and then they need to show their route. And, if it's if the shortest distance would make them be on that road, they're fine. And if not, they get a ticket.
Correct. And we don't deal with a lot of it because we have truck routes that come through the community. Probably the most famous two streets we always worry about is Chicago Avenue with the viaduct and also Washington Boulevard with the viaduct, because when they don't follow, not only that it's not a truck route, but they don't see the height of the bridge, they lose half their trailer in the back, and it becomes a lot of citations and a lot of cleanup. Citations, we have the ability to write local ordinances on some of the offenses, and other offenses are strictly state citations that are sent over to the county courthouse.
And does this ordinance only apply to commercial vehicles, not to private vehicles?
Second division vehicles. So if someone owned a private vehicle that had a truck plate on it, and pretty much as Jack, when he drafted this, looked at us, the ordinance right now is 5,000 pounds, and we talked about a Tesla weighs over 5,000 pounds. So moving it to 10,000 wouldn't affect a resident's pickup truck or van, cargo van, or an electrician or plumber's truck. It would be those vehicles over 10,000 pounds. And once again, they're second division vehicles.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Thank you. Yeah,
good. Thanks. So pretty confident that we can enforce this ordinance, which is good. Any further questions? Hearing none, If we could take the vote.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell. Yes. Trustee Bogner.
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Well, that concludes our regular scheduled meeting. So we're going to go into executive session, and I'd ask the us to make a motion and a second to go into executive session.
We move to enter into executive session pursuant to 5 ILCS 120 / 2C11 and 6 to discuss pending litigation and the setting of a price for sale or lease of property owned by the public body, and the village board will adjourn after executive session and will not return to open session.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bogner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
President Ducey.
Yes.